And God just visited me. Now, I didn't see him, and I didn't hear anything. Sometimes, let's face it, I'm wrong. Sometimes I think it's God, and it's really not. Last week I told you the Cardinals were going to win the Super Bowl. Now, I hope you know that I was tongue-in-cheek. I was just playing with you, okay? I wasn't trying to prophesy. One of the staff members got a bunch of rocks and put them on my desk. So when I came in Tuesday, I was going to stone myself, I guess, because I was a false prophet. I said, aren't you supposed to stone me? I'm not supposed to stone myself, am I? Listen, I try diligently to never stand before you and say, this is what the Lord says, and until I really believe it is. And last night when I was awakened at 1:30 and I was up for a couple of hours, I believe the Lord woke me up, and intuitively I knew the church was supposed to start fasting on a day-by-day basis. And I'm calling you to a fast right now. We're going to start because the enemy has set himself. And I don't mean to talk in terms that would over-dramatize anything. I don't sense the enemy knocking on my door and everything's going to hell in a handbasket. But I do know by the Spirit that there's an enemy who doesn't want you to grow. There's a terrorist organization out there in other lands that wants to destroy America. They haven't slept. They haven't gone to sleep. They haven't disappeared. They're still in the making. They're plotting. They're planning. I'm telling you, you have an enemy who set himself against you. He doesn't want you to grow. Some of you are here for the first time, and this is all new to you, and the enemy's keeping you. It's kind of like, this is weird. God says, I have new things for you. I have stuff available for you that you haven't even thought about. And as you will allow me to enlarge you and stretch, just like a woman stretches to give birth to a child, if you will stretch beyond your frame of reference and your comfort zone, I will do some mighty things in your life. And I don't want you to miss that. So God says there's an enemy that has set himself, and we need to fast. And so I'm calling you to a fast. I'm going to ask the staff. I had them do this first service, but I just, since you're here all together, stand with me, would you? I've told the staff to be a part of this. I didn't need to tell them. If I shared it with them, they would have volunteered. But I need to have the elders, those appointed elders in the church, to stand as well right now with you and your wives. If you're here, some of you were in first service. Some of them were in first service. There are a couple of here today. And Nathalie, you stand up as well. Elders, you're being drafted today. I came up in the '60s when the draft was very, very real, and they were drafted. These eldering couples, let me tell you, they don't need to be drafted. They'd volunteer. And I want you to know that there's more elders in this congregation than just the ones that have appointed. For those of you who are new, there's 12 elders that are appointed. They and their wives, I view them as elder couples, not elderly couples, but elder couples, people of the faith. But there are more elders in this church than are appointed. You don't need an appointment to be an elder. You know, Newton's over there, Margaret, Leonard, you're elders in the church. You're elders in the church. You know, Steve and Fabiola, you're elders in the church. I hesitate to even point anyone out because I don't want to miss anybody, and there are so many more. But as just a sampling, there are a couple of couples, and there are others. If I would take time to view you, you are elders. Rodriguez is back there. You're elders in the church. Yeah, you served on the board and were an elder, but just when you stepped down, you didn't stop being elders. You're elders in the church. And I'm calling the elders by the leading of the Spirit. Elders, you and I, let's lead the way. Staff, let's us lead the way. We're going to be fasting 6 days a week. I'm going to start with Monday, and I'm going to conclude with Saturday. I'm going to pick up those 2 days, and I'm going to do a complete fast. I'm only going to have water on those 2 days for however long it takes. I've asked the staff to do the same thing. If you choose to participate, which I hope you do, I don't know what type of fast God might call you to. It may not be a total fast, a complete fast. It might be a partial fast. I will detail this next week, because next week I'm going to do the final message in our service, in our series called First Things First. And I'm going to deal with that topic that says, when you go into the strong man's house, you first bind the strong man. You first bind the strong man. We are living in the strong man's house ever since the creation, when we gave over the keys to him, when we usurped, when we took our authority and gave it over to him through sin, he became the ruler of this house. God still reigns. Aren't you glad for that? And we're not intimidated by his rulership, because God is still over him. But in this season of time, we are called to pray and to reign. God does not want you to miss anything. That's why he's calling us to that. Chris, you said to me just about about 5-10 minutes ago before I came up here, the youth felt like the Lord said to you a word that about him wanting us not to miss this. So tell us what you felt.
Yeah, over the past couple of weeks, I've been kind of having this vision or kind of seeing something during worship, and I asking the Lord, I can't figure this out. You know, I don't understand what it's all about. And I've been seeing these, just like you're on the pier at Pismo, I've been seeing these surfers out there and just kind of floating over the waves as they come by. And then, you know, I'd see one paddle and actually catch the wave and ride it in. And and this morning, first service, I finally felt like God gave me the last piece of that puzzle. And that was that God saying, you know, I've been sending some nice little tides in. You've seen some healings take place. You've seen, breakthrough in your lives. You've seen different things over the last few months. But I feel like God's saying, the wave is coming. The wave is in the distance. It's on the horizon. And you need to keep your eyes open. Just like, these surfers do. They turn around. They see it coming. They don't waste any time. They start paddling. And I just feel like God is saying, church, paddle. Paddle. It's coming. Paddle. There's something stirring. There's something really stirring. And God wants you to paddle. And this fast, you know, you gotta work to catch the wave. And I really believe that this fast is going to be something that leads into catching that wave.
So the word paddle could be the word prayer. That's why he's calling us to prayer, fasting and prayer and seeking the Lord. If you read any leadership books, you'll read things about leadership and you'll read things about vision. They'll tell every leader that if you're going to be a good leader, you have to keep vision in front of the people. It has to be clear. It has to be consistent. I'm telling you today that vision is not what man wants us to do. Vision is what God wants us to do. Jesus didn't do anything until he saw the Father do it. I've seen the Father. And I'm going to try to lead you in this season of time to the best of my ability, not to try to get you involved in things that I think you should do, but in what God wants us to do. That's the vision that Jesus waited for. I'm trying to do like that. I'm nowhere in his category, but I'm telling you, I think God is telling us to do this. So if you are not just going to church, if you are a part of, especially of this family, I want you to take these words seriously and commit yourselves to fasting. Next week, I will have this outline for you in print. Next week, as I finish this series, if you're not going to be here, I want you to get the tape, the CD. If you're not going to be here next week, you can listen to it online. If you're not going to be here, you can actually, after 2 or 3 days, go to the website and you can listen to it, the audio cast. God's going to speak to us next week, and he's going to share with us a tactical, strategical way that we're going to bind the enemy. And I need to have every person who's a part of this family listen to next week's message. I may do a terrible job in presentation. I'm not talking about the presentation. I'm talking to you about the truth that will be revealed about our enemy and how we need to bind him, because God does have some things in store. Here's what I want you to pray for as you begin to fast, if you do that. I want you to pray that God will give strength to those who have been told by doctors they're going to die. We need to have some miracles. There are people in this congregation who have been given a death sentence, and I believe that God wants to heal them. There are people who are bound, and I'll share more next week, but there are people who are bound and unable to see God, and you and I pray for their deliverance. And we need to pray, thirdly, against any division that might come in the body of Christ, any underlying current of contempt, that the enemy wants to divide and conquer, and we're praying that he will not be able to do that, because our God is greater than he is. Okay, quickly, stand to your feet, if you wouldn't mind, please. I'm only doing this because of time. Otherwise, I'd try to be more compassionate and gracious. Would you please stand to your feet? Take the hand of a person beside you. Father, today we declare before you who reign over all things, and through you and your strength, we declare to the enemy that his days are numbered, that he will not hinder your church. I'm not saying that to him. You've said it in your word, Lord. The gates of hell cannot prevail against the church of the living God. We're not standing on my feelings that I've heard you. We're standing on the word of God that is clearly defined that we will be victorious over the enemy. We stand against sickness and believe, Lord, that you want to heal specific times, God. We stand against those bondages that keep people bound up and unable to experience you in a real way and break them in this fast. And oh God, I ask you in the powerful name of Jesus that you would keep us united. Help us to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit so that we can experience all that you want us to experience. In your precious Son's name, amen. Squeeze the person if you agree with that prayer. Give a hug to that person. Jeff, come up and share with us the word from your heart.
Well, good morning. I told Tim this morning that, yeah, we long for times like that, don't we? And I want to be a part of a community of faith where I know that our lead pastor is being stirred by God and being woken up, and that there's direction there, and that God has a specific calling on this church and on the individuals in this church to do things in this community and to do certain things in his kingdom. And so I told Tim, I mean, we need moments like that, and those moments we don't want to miss out on. And he is my boss, so what am I going to do, right? So, if the ushers could go ahead and come forward, we have, if you didn't bring a Bible this morning, we just want everyone to have a Bible, and we have a bunch of Bibles. And so if you forgot your Bible at home, you can shoot your hand up as the ushers come by, and they will distribute those to you. If you have a Bible at home, maybe just leave this in your seat after the service. So go ahead and, I mean, keep your hand up and they'll give you one, but then just leave it in the seat after the service is over, or drop it by the ushers. If you don't have a Bible, we just would take it home. We want everyone here to have a Bible. And so if you don't have one, this is yours to keep. And so take it home with you today. But if you just forgot yours, go ahead and leave that in the seat. So, and as they're coming forward and distributing those, hopefully we have enough ushers to do this as well. But we're going to go ahead and receive the offering this morning. And so let's just pray before they do that. Father, we just come before you, and we thank you that you do speak, and that we can hear your voice. And we thank you that you speak through Pastor Tim, and you give guidance and direction to this body through him. And pray that we would have sensitive ears to those moments. We thank you for your word. We thank you for scripture that you speak to us through. And so this morning, we pray that you would open our hearts and open our minds to what you want us to hear, that you would do that so you can bring about life transformation. You can change us, because, Lord, we need changed. And we just pray that, to give us a sensitive ear this morning. Open our hearts and minds, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Well, if you have your Bible, we're going to go ahead and look in Matthew chapter 22. And we're currently in a series called First Things First. And can you guys believe it's already, almost been February? And, you know, the beginning of the year, and kind of kicking the year off, just talking about what are the first things that we need to do, and what are the first things that we need to pursue as followers of Jesus Christ. And so today we're going to look at Matthew 22, verse 34. If you guys have one of these Bibles, I'll help you out a little bit. It's on page 687. If you don't have one of these Bibles and you go to page 687, you'll be in the wrong place. But Matthew chapter 22, verse 34. It says here, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert of the law, tested him with this question: "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Last week we talked about the second part of that: love your neighbor as yourself. But if we want to love our neighbors as ourselves, we got to learn how to love God first and foremost. And the Pharisees, these kind of the religious leaders in Jesus' day, kind of took this idea of following the rules very seriously. And they kind of took the Bible and expanded upon it. And they actually had like 600 and some rules that they thought they were to follow. Some of them were positive rules. A positive rule is one that you do something, right, to follow through with. Some of them were negative rules. A negative rule would be one that you don't do something to be obedient. 600 and some. And they come to Jesus and say, "Hey, which is the greatest? What's the greatest commandment?" And what Jesus does is he looks back to the Old Testament, and he looks back to the book of Deuteronomy. And he looks at Deuteronomy chapter 6. And he quotes this passage. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. It says there, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your homes and on your gates." So here you have Jesus quoting something from the Old Testament. They say, "What's the greatest command?" And Jesus says, "Love the Lord your God. Love the Lord your God." In Jewish tradition and in Jewish religious practice, this passage is called the Shema. Shema is the Hebrew word simply meaning hear. And it's the first word of that prayer, that request. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one." And then it goes on, "Love the Lord your God." The Shema in Jewish tradition, good Jewish boys and girls, every morning when they wake up, they say this. And every night before they go to bed, they say this. And the passage in there that talks about putting it on your door frames, so they actually have these things, I think they're called mezuzahs or something like that. Someone who's smarter than me can probably help me with my Hebrew there. But and there are these, you know, little things that actually have that passage, a little scroll with that passage written in it, and they put it on their door frames. If you go into a Jewish home today, you'll see that as you walk in. And Jewish rabbis actually have these boxes called phylacteries that have that same, you know, scroll of that passage inside of them. And they will wear them. They'll tie them to their wrists. They'll tie them to their foreheads as they pray. I mean, they take this very, very seriously, and they take this very literally, that, hey, we're actually going to put them on our door frames, and we're actually going to wear them because this is what God tells us to do. They take these rules very, very seriously. And so, you know, these guys come and say, "Jesus, what's the greatest commandment?" And he points back to this verse that they all know very well. He says, "Love the Lord your God." Well, what we frequently do, though, I think, with this is we think that it's God starts our relationship with him, that he focuses on obedience. And I think we kind of get things messed up there, because when we read in the Gospels a little bit at a different point, Jesus says, "If you love me, you will do what I tell you to do." And in that portion of Scripture, and in Jesus, when he's questioned here, what's the greatest thing we're supposed to do, he starts off with love. And I think what we think is he frequently starts off with obedience, and he doesn't. The Bible is not about obey, obey, obey. The Bible is about love, love, love. And Jesus says, "If you love me, you will do what I say." Not the opposite. He doesn't say, "If you do what I say, then you love me." He says, "No, if you love me, then you do what I say." And Jesus doesn't start off saying, "Obey, obey, obey." He doesn't start off saying, "It's about a bunch of rules." What Jesus says is he says, "It's about love. It's about love. And do you love me?" And his challenge is, do you love me with your whole heart and soul, mind and strength? When I think about my kids, my wife and I have three children, three and under. Just take a moment, just let that sink in. Okay? That wasn't an error, it's true. So pray for us. Pray for my wife especially. But, you know, when I think about this idea of my kids obeying me, man, I want my kids to obey me because they know I love them and because they love me. You know, I don't want them to obey me because they're afraid of something I'm going to do to them or that I'm going to take something away from them, even though that is necessary to form that obedience in them. But man, and I can see moments where my kids obey me because they don't want to lose a toy or they don't want something taken from them. And then there are other moments where, man, they seem to obey me just because of our relationship. They're kind of like, you know what, I trust Dad. And Dad loves me, and I love him. And when he asks me to do this, I'm going to do it. I mean, you can just see this marked difference between those two different types of obedience. And what God says is, he says, man, I want your obedience to flow out of your love for who I am. I want your obedience to just be a result of your love for me and my love for you. That relationship's not built on obedience. That relationship is built on love. And that's where God starts off this whole thing in the Old Testament and the New Testament, in the midst of the Ten Commandments. He says, love me, love me. And Jesus says, the greatest commandment, love me. And it seems even awkward to put those two, what's the greatest commandment? It's love me. I don't do that out of sheer effort. And there's a love there. There's an attachment. What does he tell us? How do we love him? Well, he says, love me with your whole heart. Love me with your whole soul. Love me with your whole mind. If we just think about those concepts just for a moment, what is your heart? It's not your physical heart, right? It's nothing to do with your physical heart. It's a spiritual heart. From our heart is where we really live our lives. It's kind of the seat of our emotions. It's the seat of where we make our decisions. It's the seat from where our desires flow out of. Is from our heart. And our soul is kind of just speaks to our very existence. And our mind is about our intellectual capabilities and our mind, the way we think about things. And they kind of they're very similar, these three concepts. But she says, man, from your heart, from the place that you live your life, I want you to love me. I want you to love me. And it really does center upon our will, what we want to happen in life. It comes from our heart. And Jesus says, man, from that place, you need to love God. From that place. If you've ever fallen in love, you'll know that love leads you to do some things that, are different, right? And you're willing to do things that in other terms you might not be willing to do. My wife and I got married, and 5 months later, we moved to South Korea, and we taught English in South Korea for about a year and a half. People thought we were crazy. I'll tell you, it was just a phenomenal time. And so we actually celebrated our first wedding anniversary in South Korea, and I really wanted to do something special for that anniversary. And at our wedding, we didn't hire a videographer. We didn't have someone that filmed it, but our friend kind of that day is like, hey, I got a video camera. I'm like, okay, great. They weren't professionals, so he's kind of jerky, and you got the shoes every once in a while, and that kind of thing. And it wasn't that enjoyable to watch. And so I thought, I'm gonna edit this video and put it to music. And there are a couple other videos that I wanted to put together just about our time in Korea. But I didn't want her to know. And so, she's going to bed. I'm like, I'm not that tired. I'm going to stay up. And I'd stay up all night working on these videos just so that I could surprise her with them. And she had talked about this necklace that she really liked. And I wasn't familiar with the terms, but the phrase Tiffany came out. It's like, okay, all right. Well, I went to a website and I was like, holy cow. Like, what? Luckily, thankfully, they actually made that same necklace in silver, because the gold and the platinum, that was out of my league. And so I was thankful for that. But I was in Korea, right? And so I had to actually plan ahead and way in advance, go online, order this thing, have it shipped to my parents to where they could get it to me in Korea. And just, all the time and energy and focus, and spent more money than I should have probably. But in all of that, it was a pure delight. It was a pure delight because my heart was attached to my wife, and I loved her from that place. And so staying up all night was a joy to me. And spending more money than I should have was a joy to me because of my love for her. And it wasn't a burden by any means. And I could look at my marriage and say that, my marriage is all about following certain rules. It's about doing certain things and not doing other things. And if I do that, I'm missing out on something, right? I'm missing out on something because it's about my love for my wife. And certain actions, both positive and negative, will flow out of that love. But it doesn't start from a heart of obedience. It starts from a heart of love. And that was my first wedding anniversary, right? And if any of you guys in here, you're approaching that point and married, just think about that a little bit, because I kind of set the bar high. And really, since that point, it's been downhill. It really has. My wife's like, what happens? You know, we get to our second, our third, our fourth anniversary. What happens? You know, and so I told her, you know, it's going to come in like 10 years. Wait for that. That'll be a good one, you know. You know, but it's that, you know, you'll stay up all night. You'll talk on the phone for hours. You'll go to great lengths to do something because of your love. And that's how God wants us to approach him. He wants us to approach him where our heart is so attached to him that staying up all night talking to him or going to great lengths to serve him isn't a burden, but it's like, man, I love you, God. And I'm willing to do anything for that because I love you, right? And it's not just this emotional infatuation, but at the same time, it's not just about discipline and obedience, but it's kind of all of that stuff all together. It's a committed love. It's a love that's been thought through. It's a love that is obedient, but yet at the same time, it's a love that is emotional, right? And we should have certain emotional attachments to who God is. And it's all of that wrapped up into one. It's loving God from our heart. It's really loving God from and with everything he's created us to have and be. I mean, from my heart, my soul, my mind, my strength, my effort, my activity, my energy, all of those things combined. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus is making a point about where we put our hope and our faith and our trust. And he says that many of you have put your hope and faith and trust in money and in stuff and in material goods. And what Jesus says is like, that's not very wise. That's not really very wise because those things fade away and those things don't last and those things break down. He says that moths come in and destroy them and rust destroys them. And Jesus says to orient your heart around something that isn't last is not a wise way to approach life. And he makes this really, really profound statement there. And he says in Luke 12, verse 34, he says that where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. See, our what we treasure really does orient our heart. What we treasure. And to treasure really is part of being human. Every single person in this room treasures something. And if you don't think you do, then check your pulse. All right, because part of what it is, I think, really be created in the image of God is we treasure things. And this morning, I just want to invite you to kind of think about that and ask yourself, what is it that I treasure? What is it that I treasure? And do I treasure God? And do I treasure things of God? Because if you look at their stories, like from the Holocaust and from concentration camps, where prisoners will have something that seems of little significance, a photo or a letter that's of no value. You couldn't go sell it on the street for any money, but they treasure it. And they'll go to great lengths to protect it, even jeopardizing their own life to protect this treasure. And it's because it's not simply a physical matter, but it's a spiritual matter, right? There's something spiritual about that act of treasuring. And if you have kids or have been around kids, you kind of know this concept of treasuring. My son right now, he's 3, and he got this little small ATV four-wheeler for Christmas. It has this little dude that kind of goes on the handlebars, and I mean, the thing probably cost $4 or $5. His grandma got it for him, right? Man, since he got that thing, he has been, he treasures that thing. I mean, he gets up in the morning, he calls it his roller, right? And he's like, you know, Dad, where's my roller? You know, and he's playing with it all the time. He'll take the little, he calls it his man, my man. He's like, where's my man, you know, for the roller? And he'll take him off, and he'll actually take him and put him in bed, say, ah, the man needs a nap. Or, you know, he'll take him in bath with him because the man's dirty. And, you know, his heart has been attached to this thing, and he treasures it, right? And it's, you know, one night he was going to bed, and he was like, Dad, I left my roller outside. And he wanted to get up, you know, and go find it. It's dark out. And I was like, you know what, Cohen, you go to bed. I'll go find it for you. You know, and so, and luckily I did, you know, because if I would have forgotten that the next morning, he would have been devastated. You didn't go get my roller? you know, where's the man? And so I got the flashlight, went and found it, you know, for him, because he has attached, I mean, there's something, his heart is attached to this thing, and he treasures it, right? And he thinks about it a lot. And right now we're going, we have a little crisis because we can't find the roller at home. My inclination is, hey, let's just go to Walmart and buy another one. It's $4, whatever. But that misses the point of this idea of treasuring, because it's not about another roller. It's about that one, right? And it's something of treasuring. Our daughter, she has a night-night. And if you see her walking around, she's carrying that thing. And, she goes to bed with it. She wakes up with it. And, like, if she ever gets hurt, she's running around. She falls down. Where's my night-night? My night-night! You know, and it's like, I pick her up and think, oh, that'll comfort her. And maybe it does a little bit. But I tell you what, she's like, where's my night-night? I'm like, doesn't make me feel real good that she's, she gets more comfort out of this inanimate night-night than, sometimes she does for me. But she it's like this treasure that she has. And children treasure things. And every single one of us have things that we treasure. Some of those things are material things, right? Physical things that we treasure. It could be a car or a house or whatever it may be. But sometimes it's something immaterial. Our reputation or certain relationships, right? We all treasure something. And where our treasure is where our heart is. And Jesus says, be careful with what you treasure. Be careful with what you treasure, because your heart follows. And that's where we live our life out of. And God says, love me. Treasure me. And don't get me wrong. I mean, there are things that we treasure that are okay to treasure. I should treasure my wife, right? And treasure my kids. But there should be a special type of treasuring and a special type of love that is reserved for God. And above all else and beyond all else, I should treasure him. I should treasure him. So this morning, I just ask you, what are you treasuring today? And what are you treasuring in your heart? When we treasure someone, we also kind of treasure the things that they treasure. And when we treasure someone, we also notice things about them that other people miss. And it's true with things, right? If you treasure a car, if there's a car that you treasure, you're going to know more about that car than most people. You're going to see details in that car that most people miss, right? In a relationship, when you treasure another person, the same is true. There are certain things with my wife that I think I notice that other people miss. She's probably going to ask me now. She's here, so she's going to, so what is it? I'm going to have to think about it and make a list. But it's true, right? I mean, when we treasure someone, we notice things that other people just completely miss out on. And the same is true with God. If we treasure him, we view the world around us through different eyes, and we notice things in the world that most people miss out on. When Tim gives me a message to speak, I tell you what, God is doing something usually to me, because I've been convicted about this week as I've been preparing and thinking about this message and thinking about what it means to love God. What does it mean to treasure him? And I know I don't have it all figured out, but I'm working on it, and God's working on me. And just because I kind of have been in a place this week where I've been thinking about these things, I thought about, when was the last time I was just really impressed with God? When was the last time I was in awe of him? When was the last time that I noticed some of those things that most people miss? Because we live in a world full of God's presence. We live in a God-bathed world. And so as I was thinking about that, just a few things that happened this week that I think I noted and took notice of because of this. I was just in downtown Hanford, and I saw two birds. How many stinking birds do I see throughout my day? I mean, I see a bunch. But it was because I turned my mind and viewed them in a certain way. Have you ever just like paused and watched birds fly for just a couple minutes? I mean, it really is remarkable. Just these patterns and this beauty in that moment that, man, we miss. But in that moment, it's 30 seconds, I was like, God, I'm impressed with you. God, I'm in awe of you. And man, when we treasure other things, we miss those moments, right? God, I'm in awe of you. When's the last time you were impressed by God? Another thing that happened this week, our daughter, our baby, she's 3 months now. And this week, she started to laugh for the first time. She's been smiling for a while and that kind of thing, but this week was kind of the first time she really kind of from the belly just kind of laughed. And I tell you what, those moments, I mean, it's like, are pretty special. And it's easy to miss that moment and miss God in that moment. And what I was doing, I was holding her and I was beatboxing for her. You know what beatboxing is, right? This is a little, you know. All right, now, I think my daughter is a genius because the appropriate response to me beatboxing is laughter, right? And so she, I mean, she's pretty smart, you know, at 3 months. She's laughing at me because it's laughable. It really is. You know, but, you know, think about that laughter, that God gives us laughter. And there's this joy that wells up within us. And I was like, God, I'm impressed. God, I'm in awe because I treasure you. And I see those moments where you reveal yourself in my day. And I think, God, man, you are amazing. You really are amazing. The third thing, if you were life journaling this week, one of the things that we life journaled on was Psalm 19. And Psalm 19, I mean, there's a lot in that passage, but just the beginning portion of that, it talks about the heavens declaring the glory of God. And I thought about this concept of the heavens and the moon and the stars. And so I went online, and NASA has some incredible websites that, you know, these moments of the Hubble telescope and images that have been grabbed, you know, from the Hubble telescope. And so I think there's some of the pictures that I just pulled off onto my computer, and I think this guy's going to show them. But as you watch this, I'm going to read Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens he has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat. Psalm 19 saying, man, in the heavens, the sun, the moon, the stars reveal my glory. And we need to sometimes pause and just say, you know what, God? I'm impressed. I'm in awe of you. And I humble myself before you. And I treasure you. And I treasure the things that you treasure. Both your creation, both the life of others, laughter, all these things that God treasures. I treasure those things. I treasure those things. It's easy to miss them. But I tell you what, if we start to treasure God, and those moments will become easier and easier. And we have them every day. Even in the midst of difficulty, even in the midst of hardship, there are those moments where we can treasure God. And we don't want to miss out on them. In Ephesians 3:14, Paul says this prayer for the church of Ephesians. He says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit's in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Paul prays this over this church, right? It's like, don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss demonstration of his love. Treasure it. Treasure him. Because when you do that, you notice those moments. And as I treasure God, and as I allow my heart to go in those places, man, I see him more and more. I see him more and more. And so what is God saying? He's got to say, come to me. Love me with all your heart. Love me with all your soul. Love me with all your mind. Treasure me. Just a short video that we'll watch together, and just take these hours, kind of getting late, but let's not miss this, okay? Let's not miss this. Matthew 22, Jesus says that. He gives us that instruction. Love me with all of who you are. And then and two chapters later, in chapter 24, he says that in the end times, people's love will grow cold. People's love will grow cold. And I know that in a room this size, that some of your love for God has grown cold. Some of you have been seeking God and you just haven't felt that emotional connection. You're going through a kind of a dry period. Some of you maybe have allowed your heart and your mind and your soul to go places they shouldn't. And that's pulled you away from your first love. That's pulled you away from treasuring God. And this morning, I think God wants us to know that He wants to give us a new heart. He wants to give you a new heart this morning. And if that's you, if your love has grown cold, God says, I want to give you a new heart. If you've allowed your heart to treasure things that are against God's will, and I know what it's like. I know what it's like to come to church and feel shame and guilt for what I did the night before and think, what am I doing here? I'm a hypocrite. And God says, I want to cleanse your heart this morning, and I want to give you a new heart. And there's just a verse, Psalm 51. It says there, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. It says, restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. God wants to do that this morning. God wants to cleanse your heart. And I believe that there are a few people here that you have broken relationships, and you've allowed that experience to reflect and connect to your love for God. And that love that has been broken, maybe in a human relationship, you've attached that to your understanding and concept of God. And you feel like that love has grown cold for God because of something you've experienced. God wants you to know this morning, I'm going to cleanse your heart. I'm going to cleanse your heart this morning. I'm going to give you a new heart. And some of us have allowed our heart to attach itself to material possessions and to money. And God says, I want you to come before me and repent and claim that my hope and my faith are not in those things. And we know that in this economy, those things don't last. And I need to cleanse my heart and reestablish my commitment that my treasure is in you, Lord. And I just think that in that same passage in Psalm 51, it says in verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. And this morning, I just think some of us need to come forward and ask for that cleansing and ask for that renewal. And so the prayer teams, if you guys would go ahead and just come forward. And if that's you this morning, don't miss out on this moment. Don't miss out on this moment. If you've experienced that broken relationship and your heart has grown cold, even your heart towards God has grown cold, today He wants to restore your heart. He wants to restore your heart. If that's you, come forward. Please do. Come forward. Please come forward. Just because this moment, God wants to restore something within you. And that moment of coming forward and saying, God, I humble myself before you. I have a contrite heart. Restore my heart. Cleanse my heart. For some of the rest of us, we might need to come forward and just confess. Say, God, I've allowed my heart, I've allowed my treasure to be attached to things that are not of you. And I need forgiveness and I need renewal. And God wants to restore your heart this morning. God wants to give you a new heart and cleanse you. And sometimes that means we need to step out of our seats and we might feel uncomfortable, but I tell you what, God's going to meet you as you do that. God's going to meet you in that moment. So, you know, I'm not trying to pressure anybody, but God wants to do some business with you. And don't miss out on this time. Father, our prayer this morning is that verse in Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, so that I may love you fully. Create a clean heart in me so I may treasure you, Lord. Cleanse us, Lord, we pray. Restore our hearts. Cleanse our minds, because, Lord, we know that our minds have gone places they shouldn't. Lord, so I just pray for an anointing and a cleansing over everyone in this room, Lord Jesus, that in your name and that by your grace, by your mercy, there would be a cleansing of hearts and minds so that we're free to love you fully, so that we're free to love you with our whole hearts. We're free to love you with our whole minds, our strength, our spirit, our soul. Lord Jesus, we want to love you fully. Help us to treasure you. Help us to treasure you, Lord, we pray. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your forgiveness, Lord. Renew us. Transform us, Lord Jesus, in your precious, precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. You know, don't let this too quickly pass. This week, really ask those questions. What is it that I treasure? And what is it that I love? Don't allow it to leave your mind too quickly, because God's saying, I want to restore in you a clean heart, and I want to be the treasure of your hearts. And so think about those things this week. We love you guys, and God bless you.